ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
To pray for this nation, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're going to be continuing on our discussion that we started 2 weeks ago, talking about the gift of the Spirit. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12, which is our theme scripture. Verse 1 for now. I'm going to do a recap, thank you, of what we said so far. But 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And I think I read a particular version that actually puts that. Let me see. I think that's the ESV. Yes. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." I do not want you to be uninformed. NKJV says, "I do not want you to be ignorant." I don't want you to be uninformed. So that's one of the reasons why we're doing this. Because we want us to have in full information. We should not be uninformed. We should not be ignorant. And I said that 2 weeks ago that we have, of course, 9 gifts of the Spirit, just like as we have 9 dimensions of the fruit of the Spirit. We have 9 gifts of the Spirit, and they are categorized into 3 groups. Who was here last? Somebody can tell me the 3 groups. We're not plenty, so we can do Bible study. Somebody wants to tell me the 3 groups. Okay. Revelation gifts, power gifts, vocal or inspiration or utterance gifts. Oh, fantastic. And I said that the gifts are listed in the order of their importance. So you have from 1 to 9. 1 being the most important, 9 being the least important. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is for the benefit of the church. It is for the benefit of the church. It is for the benefit of, and all of these gifts actually glorify Jesus. So when you see somebody displaying these gifts and it's not glorifying Jesus, then please raise a question mark. Okay, so we did word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and we gave examples, and we did discerning of spirits. So I think that was where we stopped. So today I'm going to continue with the power gifts. The power gifts. And the power gifts include the gift of faith, special faith it is called, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. In the plural form, gifts of healing. So what is the gift of faith? The gift of faith is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit, whereby a believer is empowered with special faith or wonder-working faith in order to receive miracles. So you need the gift of faith to be in action for you to get, you know, for you to have a miracle, or for you to do something that is, you need the gift of faith when you are confronted with a situation that boggles your mind, like raising the dead. Somebody is dead and you want, ordinary faith cannot raise a dead person. So, it is a supernatural manifestation. But again, it is the Holy Spirit that gives that gift of faith. It is not something that you can walk up, you know, say, I need the gift of faith. So, you know, you cannot walk it up. The Holy Spirit gives that gift of faith. So it is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit, whereby a believer is empowered with special faith in order to receive miracles. Like I said, in case of raising the dead, casting out demons sometimes. We'll see some examples as we go on. And the gift of faith is different from saving faith. Everybody has saving faith. Ephesians 2:8 and verse 9 talks of how we're saved by faith. And that faith is not of us, it is the gift of God. So it is different from saving faith. And it's also different from the faith that is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, faith is also a fruit of the Spirit. So it is also different from that. The fruit of the Spirit, as we have learned when Pastor Akin was teaching us here, is for character development. It's for character development. The gifts of the Spirit are for power. So the gift of faith is different from saving faith. In fact, the faith, I think we have quite a number of faith. You have saving faith. You have, we did that in school. The different kinds of faith, like 9 or more of them. So, the gift of faith is different. And this gift of faith is passive. When you say something is passive, it's passive. And this is in comparison to the working of miracles. The gift of faith is what you need to work in miracles. So it's passive, it receives. But the working of miracle itself is the working, is active. It's put, you know, into action. So, most of the time, they work in tandem. The gift of faith and the working of miracles, they work in tandem. They most of the time work together. And so, what is the working of miracles? I'm going to tie the two together. It is the gift of the Spirit given to the believer that he might work miracles. It is the gift of the Spirit given to the believer that he might work miracles. You remember that, and this working of miracles, I was thinking before I came, okay, let's say working of miracles. Working of miracles is bringing something that's, okay, I have said raising the dead is gift of faith, but it's also working of miracles because it is totally out of the ordinary. Totally out of the ordinary, you know. So, but the working of miracles again, I'm thinking now, when Jesus, there was this man that had a withered hand, the one that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. He had a withered hand and the hand became normal. It's a working of miracles. Because it is something that is totally out of the ordinary. Totally out. Completely supernatural. Something that beats, you know, like our imagination, our, you know, natural mind. So what is a miracle? Yeah, so I have a miracle is a supernatural intervention of God in the ordinary course of nature. So in the course of nature, that hand was withered. Ordinarily, there is nothing to do about it. That eye, those eyes, the man that was born blind. In the course of nature, nothing can be done. He was born blind. Nothing can be done. But a miracle is that there is a supernatural intervention. And like I said, the two of them, most of the time, work together. They work together. The gift of faith is passive. The working of miracles is active. It's active. So it's like, you need one to do the second one. You need the gift of faith to do the working of miracles. And in the Old Testament, of course, we have quite a bit of the gift of faith and of the working of miracles. I think you have more of the gift of faith in the Old Testament. You have Daniel in the lion's den as a gift of faith. It's a gift of faith because beyond, against all odds, he stayed in that. He was, in fact, the three children, the three Israelite children, it's a gift of faith. They said, our God is able to save. Even if he doesn't save, they went into the fire. Can you imagine? You were that bold and they were saying, okay, even if he doesn't save, but they went into the fire saying, our God is going to, is able to save us. You see fire like this. The fire that the people that threw you inside self got killed. And you're saying, our God is able to, you know, save us. So, Daniel in the lion's den is a gift of faith. It's a gift of faith. Like I said, the three Hebrew boys also in Daniel is a gift of faith. That faith was beyond ordinary faith. Praise the Lord. So the gift of faith employs faith that passively expects a miracle. They, of course, by the time Daniel landed in that place, he knew that a miracle had to happen. He was sure that he was not going to be killed, you know, was not going to be eaten up by the lions. And the three Hebrew boys too, when they were going in there, they knew that God was going to come through for them. So they were expecting a miracle. They were expecting a miracle. So we have that, Daniel in the lion's den as a gift of faith in the Old Testament. We have Elisha with Elijah's mantle. When they were crossing the Jordan, they crossed the Jordan based on the power of Elijah. By the time Elijah was taken up, the only thing that Elisha had was the mantle. And when he came back, it was not as if he saw Elisha do that. But he just whipped the water with the mantle and he crossed. So you have a gift of faith. He expected that that water will part. So he just carried it and, you know, whipped it. So you have that as a gift of faith. And then, of course, working of miracles. Don't forget that I have tied the two together now. In the New Testament, you have Jesus turning water into wine. Jesus turning water into wine. And Jesus had quite a number of working of miracles. I have talked about the man with the withered hand also, although that also comes under gifts of healing. But you have that. You have the man that was born blind. Gifts of healing, but also working of miracles. In fact, the three of them actually kind of like work together. Because most times when you have working of miracles, when you have healings, quite a number of times you need some situations require a working of miracles. Because it is not just that sometimes something is absent and there is a manufacturing kind of like of something that was not. So you need the working of miracles together with the gifts of healings. So gift of healings, of course, gift of healings.
That is a supernatural healing of sickness and disease without any natural source or means. As in, it is not that a doctor gave you medicine, say, take these antibiotics, two in the morning, two TBD, like they call it, or anything. Supernatural healing of sickness and disease without any natural source or means. It's not as if they say, drink water. Because by the time you're even drinking water, that is a prescription of some sort. But it is a case of, this thing just happened. The gifts of healings are more prominent in the New Testament than the Old Testament. And of course, you have more working of miracles, like I said, in the Old than in the New. And for the gift of healings, it was a major part of Jesus' earthly ministry. It was a major part of Jesus' earthly ministry. So the gift of healing is so, so important and so key. That I follow, that I really, really listen to, says that God had to give. Yeah, the gift of healings is not even meant for believers. You will see that shortly. But that we thank God that it is there. Otherwise, a lot of believers would have died before. Yes, the gift of healings is actually meant for unbelievers. Yes, believers should partake of it, but that's not how God intends for us to live as believers. Praise the Lord. So healing is also included in the Great Commission. Paul was talking about, it's Peter, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Anointed with power. Who went about, yes, so healing was a major part of Jesus' earthly ministry. A major one. Mark 16:18, also in the Great Commission. Let's look at Mark 16:18. Mark 16:18. Mark 16:18 says, let me read from 17. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So, you know, our wellness is major to God. It's major. God wants us well. God wants us well. Matthew 8:17, you know, talking about that, the same thing that was talked about in Isaiah. He said he himself was talking about how Jesus had healed people. And then at the end, he said that it may be confirmed that you just talked about in Isaiah, that Jesus himself took our infirmities. So the gift of healing is so important and so crucial. Sickness is not of God. We have to settle that in our hearts. Sickness is not of God. Sickness is not of God. God wants us well. He wants us well. And so we have the gift of healings versus receiving by faith. Receiving by faith is how God expects us as believers to live. And that receiving by faith is just having faith in the word of God as to what God has said. You know, and like I said, so Matthew 8:17, it says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So we are supposed to live receiving by faith, receive our healing by acting in faith. Because if you are going to be looking for somebody that has the gift of healing, that one is a long thing. A very long thing. So we are supposed to receive our healing by faith. This man of God that I was talking, talked about, he said something. He said he's an evangelist. He doesn't have a church. He preaches. And he said, and he has prayed for dead people to rise. They have, you know, but he said something very key. He said, I do not have any of the gifts of the Spirit. I don't have gifts of healing. I don't have, you know. He said, I just walk on faith in the word. That is all I use. And you see, he has miracles. He has evidence of that. I don't have any of those gifts. He will tell you boldly, I don't have any of the gifts. I just walk depending on having, or you walk with faith in the word. Because as it says in Mark 6, it says, they will lay hands on the sick. That is the scripture. And the sick will recover. I don't have any of the gifts. But, you know, I walk with faith in the word of God. So we are supposed to receive that way. As believers, we're supposed to live that way. Because the gift of healing is through another person to you. Like I said, if you are going to be looking for, and that is what happens when we see, you know, when we go to crusades. In fact, there are places where they have healing ministries, they have healing schools and all of that. Because what they do, yes, most of them there too don't have, but they, you know, like fashioned out so that people can receive them. So that's what you see people doing, looking for people who can lay hands on them, who can pray for them to be healed. But that is not how God ordained that as believers we should live. We are supposed to receive by faith. We are supposed to receive by faith. So gift of healing. I'm going to give two examples. Gift of healing and, you know, receiving by faith. Gift of healing. Gifts of healing. The man at the pool of Bethesda. The one that had been there for 40 years. That was always waiting for the stirring of the water. And Jesus just came and said, pick up your bed and go. That is the gift of healings in action. But then, the woman with the issue of blood is an example of receiving by faith. Because she was the one, in fact, it was after she had done what she did that Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. So, the way this woman with the issue of blood operated is how we're supposed to be operating. But sometimes the gift of healing, a supernatural intervention, can come and can give us our healing. Praise the Lord. Okay, so that is that with the power gifts. The power gifts, we have the gift of faith, we have the working of miracles, and we have the gift of healings. We have the gift of healing. And it is plural because, again, people who have this gift have discovered that different ministers have, it's like they have specialty in different areas. Some ministers are good at praying for people that have cancer, tumors, cancers. Some ministers pray for deaf and dumb people. No one person has, when it comes to the gift of healing, no one person has all. No one person has all. No one person can pray for the blind, pray for... Mm-mm. When you see people doing that, they are working with, you know, just faith in the word. Because it says you will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. But when it comes to the gift of healings, which is why it is the gift of healings, you have people have more like specialties. Like you have a gynecologist, you have people that have, you know, such giftings in different areas. Praise the Lord. Now we go to the utterance gifts. And for the utterance gifts, it's interesting because Paul dedicates a whole chapter, and that's 1 Corinthians 14, talking about the utterance gifts. A whole chapter talking about the utterance gifts. Talking about the utterance gifts. A whole chapter talking about it. But for the utterance gifts, like I said, don't forget that I said that the list of, how do we call it? On the list, you have from the most important to the least, all of them are, but in order of importance, the highest number one word of wisdom, the least is interpretation of tongues, which is the last one. So the utterance gifts, we have the gift of prophecy, we have diverse kinds of tongues, and we have interpretation of tongues. They're called vocal gifts, they're called inspiration gifts, they could also be called utterance gifts. So what is the gift of prophecy? When you get home, you can read, because it's a long read, that 1 Corinthians 14 is quite long. What is the gift of prophecy? The gift of prophecy is supernatural utterance in a known tongue, meaning that when I'm saying prophecy, I'm speaking English. I'm speaking whatever language based on wherever I am. People can hear me. I'm speaking plain language. It is not in an unknown tongue. It is in a known tongue. And we have seen a lot of, we have seen here in church where people give prophecies. Can anybody remember that, you know what prophecy, people give, it's not, okay, don't let me jump ahead of it. People just, you know, yeah, here, Pastor Bumi does, Pastor also does, just give prophecies. And that 1 Corinthians 14 talks about what prophecy is for. Can I see that verse now? Talks about it is for edification. Somebody look for that verse for me. See verse, what's it now? 5, 6. Where it talks about prophecy is for edification, is for comfort. It's 3. Okay. So, okay, let me start from verse 1. Let me just read 1 to 5. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. It says, but especially that you may prophesy. It says, for he who speaks in the tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. It says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. It says, he who speaks in the tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So, prophecy is plain language. You know, like I said, most times in church, maybe we are worshiping. Remember when the apostles were ministering, and it says they were ministering to the Lord, and he now says, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. So most of the time, prophecies come forth when maybe in the place of worship, in the place of ministering to God. You don't prophesy to yourself. You know, like you just, so it's for the church. You just, you know, so a lot of the times prophecies flow. There's a particular atmosphere that aids prophecy. You cannot just stand like this and begin to, you understand. So, when people are ministering to God, you are in worship and all of that, or, you know, so you are praying, then prophecies flow. And here Paul is saying, I wish that we all prophesied. I wish that we all prophesied. Because it is an inspired utterance. And it is always unto edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Always, 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 always unto edification. Always unto edification. So, what is diverse tongues? I'm going to just, you know, like loop the three of them together. Diverse tongues, that is supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. Supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. A lot of us, of course, essentially, the gift of tongues is a devotional gift. Meaning that it is a gift for us to, what's devotional? It's a devotional gift. The gift of tongues, essentially, is a devotional gift. But you have diverse kinds of tongues. Remember me saying when we had the last time that for a very long time, after I read this earnestly desire the best gift, I used to pray for, I don't even know why, I used to pray for tongues and interpretation from way back in school. I used to pray for tongues and interpretation, tongues, and I don't even know how, what caught my fancy. I used to just pray for tongues and interpretation. You know, so tongues is essentially a devotional gift. It's for us to worship. Like it says when we are speaking in tongues, we're speaking mysteries unto God. So it's a devotional gift for every believer. And of course, interpretation is a supernatural showing forth of that which has been said. So somebody, funny enough, we don't see much of that happening in churches now. As in, I remember vividly in school, it has happened here maybe, vividly in school, it was like a show. I don't know how to put it. You know, somebody is speaking in tongues, another person is interpreting. In fact, I remember a particular scene that, you know, when they say that everything must be done decently and in order, somebody is speaking in front, another person is speaking at the back, and, you know, you have to kind of like control everything so that it doesn't become very rowdy and everybody doing. So, what you normally have is that somebody would give a message in tongues, another person would interpret. Or sometimes same person will give a message in tongues and also interpret. So you have that. So I go back to prophecy. Like I said, I just looped the three of them together, but just follow me. Prophecy means to speak for another. So when you are prophesying, you are like speaking on God's behalf. You are his spokesperson, which is what happens. Because like I said, most of the time when we're doing that prophecy, when prophecy comes forth, you are in an atmosphere of maybe ministering, of worshiping. And God is like speaking words to you, like, you know, comforting words, edifying you or exhorting you, or, you know, just so. It is when we're prophesying, we're speaking on behalf of God. And please note, I wanted to say that before, but now I say, the gift of prophecy does not have revelation in it. It is not in the office of a prophet. They are different. It is just prophecy, plain. Does not have any revelation. It does not have any foretelling. Foretelling, you know, like prophets do. No, it's not the same. It's just prophesying, which is why Paul said, I wish everybody prophesies. The office of the prophet is totally different. It is not prediction. It's not telling you, you know, it's not prediction. You know, like some people come and you know, we do that, you know, after you have finished, say, you go and, I remember, just go and meet pastor and say, a pastor, no word for me. No, it's not word. It's not word for you or anything. It's just plain prophecy. How many of us know what prophecy is? How many of us know? Now you know. Prophecy is just unto edification. Prophecy comes off from here. Like I said, pastor, when you open the service on Sunday or we're closing somebody's ministry and worship, and some words, just inspired utterances, just flow. That's prophecy. It's not prediction. It's not the revelation. I saw you going, no. It's not that. It's just, you know, just, yes, just encouraging us, just exhorting us, you know, just edifying. That is what it is. You know, it talks about, like, if you look at Acts 21, it talks about Philip, the evangelist that had four daughters that used to prophesy, meaning that those girls did that thing of for the Bible to, you know, to note that they prophesied. That means that it was something they flowed in consistently. I think that is Acts 21, 8 to 9. Am I right? Yes. Acts 21:89 says, on the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. He says, now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. That means they had the gift of prophecy. They had the gift of prophecy. Praise the Lord. Diverse kinds of tongues. I'm going to say some things about tongues. I had said initially that it is a devotional gift. And the whole of 1 Corinthians 14 is dedicated to this utterance gifts. And why is this diverse kind of tongues? Why is tongues important? We have said this, we have done this for a while here. We have done it over and over, talking about tongues, the importance of tongues. And you can actually flow from just speaking in tongues into that gift of the diverse kind of tongues. Just your ordinary devotional tongues can actually lead you into that. So why is 1 Corinthians 12:28? Let me see what it says. It says, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. That varieties of tongues is that you are not... You know, some people, when they speak in tongues, the same tongues they have been speaking... They have been speaking since they received the Holy Ghost is what they keep speaking. On a funny side, I feel that people who have challenges with language also have challenges when it comes to speaking in tongues. On a lighter note, I said on a lighter note, I didn't say it's in the Bible. That is what I have been able to. Because some people have difficulty with language. Some people don't learn languages. I just said on the lighter note, that's what I have. That is my own name. Gospel according to PFD. It's gospel according to PFD. Anyway, diverse kind of tongues is an important gift. In that tongues is the doorway to the supernatural. We have said that over and over again. Tongues is the doorway into the supernatural. We have said it over and over again. It's the doorway into the supernatural. So, tongues is not something that you can, you know, make light of. You can't make light of it. It is also the most prominent out of the three utterance gifts, even though it is not the most important. It is the most prominent. Because tongues is what everybody speaks. Everybody speaks tongues. Everybody speaks in tongues. If you're a believer or filled with the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues. It is the most prominent. How many people prophesy? Very few people prophesy. Even though Paul says, I wish that all of you prophesy. But very few people prophesy. But that tongues is what everybody speaks. Either you're speaking just the devotional tongue, or you have the diverse kind of tongues. And of course, speaking in tongues is the initial evidence when people are baptized in the Holy Ghost. When people are baptized, the initial evidence is speaking in tongues. And utterance in tongues in public assembly is the most frequently manifested gift of the Spirit. For sure. It's the most frequently manifested gift of the Spirit. People that speak in tongues, the most frequently manifested gift of the Spirit. And don't forget that we said that out of all of the nine gifts, seven of them also were in the Old Testament, operated in the Old Testament. The only two that is new in the church age is tongues and interpretation. That is the only... Because, of course, until the church was started, until people began to be born again, which was after Jesus had ascended into heaven, nobody spoke in tongues. So, tongues and interpretation are distinctive to the church age. Therefore, they are more in operation. there are more in operation. Mark 16 talks about that again. I think, and let me see. Let's see. Yes, 17. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will speak with new tongues. So, tongues is a supernatural sign of this age, of the church age. It is a vocal miracle of the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with the mind or the intellect of man. Of course, you know that. That when you are speaking in tongues, he says that you are speaking mysteries to God. It says that in that 1 Corinthians 14. You who is speaking the tongue self don't understand it, except you have a gift of interpretation. And that's something that you can also, it says to desire for, desire it. It's good for us to speak in tongues and also be able to interpret. So, it doesn't have anything to do with your mind. And I remember, I've had these conversations in different places when people are saying, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like. They say, okay, if you don't feel like, work it from the body, from the flesh, as in, just start first. It's not like you want to start a car, you know. When you start the car, just begin to just pray in tongues, because it doesn't have anything to do with your mind. You don't feel like praying. Okay, just start first. We start in the flesh, then you move into the spirit. But if you say, yes, you wind up in the spirit. But if you say you don't feel like, and then you sit down, you will not do anything. But start. So it's like you kick it. So just start. Just be doing your, by praying in the, just start that. And you know, it will move you forward. Praise the Lord. So, even though we have said, like I said, that prophecy out of the three is the most important. So there's like an equation. Tongues and interpretation is equal to prophecy. Prophecy is plain language. But if you can speak in tongues and you can interpret it, it's the same. Do we get that? So it's like an equation. A equals B plus C. You get now? So prophecy is A. B plus C is tongues and interpretation. So you can prophesy, fantastic. But if you can't prophesy, you can do B plus C, tongues and interpretation. It's still equal to prophecy. Praise the Lord. So if you're asking for gifts, you're asking for prophecy, or you're asking for a combination of the two. Praise the Lord. First Corinthians 14:5 talks about that. It says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. He says, unless indeed he interprets. So once he interprets, then, you know, there's a balance. There's a balance. Praise the Lord. The interpretation of tongues is the least of all of the gifts of the Spirit. And why so? Because it depends on another gift. If you don't speak in tongues, there's nothing to interpret. You cannot just come up now and be saying interpretation without somebody having given you a message in tongues. So it is the least, because it is hanging on another gift. It's the least because it is hanging on another gift. And then it is not translation, it is interpretation. Because sometimes, and you have seen that, somebody may say like 10 minutes in tongues. And then when the person that wants to interpret comes, he may say one sentence. And then you are wondering, this person did not hear well. This person is not. No, it is not translation. It is not word for word. God is trying to pass across a message. So, yeah, the person that is saying in tongues may have gone on and on. But the message is the message. Just exactly. So it is not translation. It is interpretation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, let's go back to that 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to pray. The text for this was from 12:1 to 11. But then from, I want us to read from verse 27. verse 28 to 31. It says, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. This is talking about the ministry gifts. You have ministry gifts in Ephesians 4. And those ones talks about the five offices. Yeah. But here it talks about more than that. Okay. It says, first, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, it says miracles. It says then gifts of healings. It talks about helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. It says, are all apostles? Of course not. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? It says, do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Verse 31 is my emphasis. It says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire the best gifts. I want us to rise this evening. Earnestly desire the best. And I want us to pray, first of all, for the body of Christ. Because like I said, in a lot of churches now, we don't hear any talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And the gift of the Spirit, I just say, essentially, it is for evangelism. It's for evangelism. It is supposed to be an attraction to bring people to Christ. It's supposed to be an attraction to, you know, to bring people to Christ. When you go out, you preach, there's a word of wisdom, or there's a word of knowledge, or there's a discerning of spirit. Or then again, you have the gift of faith. Like we hear of Baba Idahosa that went around Benin City looking for who was dead. Is any dead best body in this house? If you don't have that crazy faith, how do you go about looking for dead people that you want to raise? We need the gift of the Spirit to be manifest in these end times in the church. Wherever you have the gift of Spirit in full, there's no, evangelism is made easy because it is not too much talk. People can see. And you remember somewhere in the scripture where Jesus was saying that this generation will not believe except they see. It has all changed. People will not still believe except they see. So I want us to pray, Father. We ask, O God Almighty, for a revival in your body. We ask, O God, that this gift of the Spirit, Lord God Almighty, that you have put in your body, become more manifest in the name of Jesus. Become more manifest. Become more manifest in our midst, in our churches. Lord God Almighty, it becomes more manifest that as your children, oh God Almighty, we earnestly desire the gifts. We earnestly desire the gift so that we can use it in preaching to people.
This message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,